ESPN 690 and Action Sports Jax presents Brent and Friends with Brent Martineau.
We're going to have to show a little more patience than the year two pom-pom people.
Casey Kurtz.
Yo! But what are we doing, bro? Come on!
And Aaron Schachter.
I'm all in favor of these two showing their love, really celebrating their relationship.
This is Brent and Friends with Brent Martineau, Casey Kurtz, and Aaron Schachter on Jacksonville's home for ESPN Radio, ESPN 690.
What's happening from String Sports Brewery? Wrestling with the bear, guys, here. got a little breeze and had to fix Casey and Brian Middleton's just hit the deck. That's what basically just happened with our ESPN 690 banner. Sorry, man.
You sound so sad about it. I feel like you just upgraded your visuals over there with that thing. No, just kidding.
Like, you should have just, like, I don't know how much you could see on the video before we came up on the video, but I was like, it was like putting out a fire over here. The banner's falling on my head, and I'm like, things are bending. I think I might have just broke something. Who knows? That's what happens when you're getting set up for the show. Live from String Sports Brewery here on a Thursday is what we do, as Jaguars All Access will be tonight. And how about Foye Aluikin? He'll be here. Talk about Calvin Ridley a little bit, former teammate with the Atlanta Falcons. And Josh Allen, of course, here as well. He did not get traded, so maybe we'll ask him a little bit about that. Jaguars All Access ahead of the Raiders game here on a Thursday from String Sports Brewery in Springfield. Brent Martineau, Aaron Schachter, Casey Kurtz as well. And we'll have Jordan DeLugo with us at 4 o'clock. Ducky Betts, I think, joining us at 4:30.
True.
And we'll talk more about our Turkey Bowl and giveaway in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll get some information on what's going on there as well. Hope you can participate on ESPN690.com for all the information. TIAA Bank is no longer going to be TIAA Bank. I was in some meetings today. You guys texted me. It took me an hour and a half to return your text. That was fun.
I thought you were dead.
Casey was legitimately concerned about
your
safety.
You were worried. He was worried. He's like, and then he said, oh, damn, he's not dead.
So no cap, bro. I went back to your tweets. I went back to your like tweets just to see what was going on. I even went to Kaylee's tweets to see if she had liked something that was like, rest in peace, dad.
It's funny, though. Like, if Stewart tweeted that and she liked it instead of doing her own, like, she can't even be bothered to say rest in peace, dad. She's got to like somebody else.
So I was just double checking, but turns out you're still with us.
Yes, I am.
We were trying to wrestle with if we should have canceled the show or not.
Yeah, I suggested maybe we don't do the show if you passed
out. I would have done it. Well, what the hell, man? Do it. If this ever comes up again, just do the show.
So just to confirm, if you die, you want us to keep going.
I would like you to, yeah. Don't even cry or anything.
Well, we're not going to cry.
I mean, don't worry about that. I'll take it as an opportunity to take the day off and go hang with my kids. But Casey.
Unfortunately, Brent, I would have to pass as well. I think the show would just be dead at that point. I don't know if we'd ever come back.
Make it a holiday.
Yeah, that's all right. You can do it. Just have some guests on, whatever. You know, at least do one more show.
The And Friends show.
We've done that before.
Because we don't have Brent anymore.
just put like a years established type thing around the title of the show.
All right.
You do it that way.
Good.
But no, we're here. We're in good health. We feel pretty good. Just had some meetings in TIAA Bank. So what's the latest? I guess what I'm getting at, they're selling again. So EverBank sold to TIAA Bank. So that's how TIAA Bank got on. And now TIAA Bank is selling. And so, will it just be whoever buys them, or could it be somebody totally different?
I don't think anyone's tipping the cap. They're just saying that the name will be announced some point soon.
But TIAA Bank is selling, yeah. Like, the bank.
The bank actually is selling.
Yeah, it actually, like, the stadium's just involved because it's named TIAA Bank. But, like,
and
the bank
not like,
is selling.
And they're not selling it to another huge bank. They're selling it to a group of investment funds.
Oh, so it won't be like Bank of America.
I don't think so.
And TIAA Bank is more like, don't they work in, like, the teacher's retirement system and stuff like that? Isn't that what they do? Like, isn't that where a lot of their stuff is?
You looking for a cosign, or are you looking for the right answer?
We'll do the cosign. Yeah,
I can cosign.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what they do, but I don't know if that's the right answer.
Me too.
I feel pretty good about that.
Me too. I'm pretty sure.
And, but I like the bank. Do you guys like saying the bank?
Yeah, that's a cool nickname, right? Like, there are very few stadiums with nicknames, but the ones that have them are pretty cool.
And now you've got to get rid of, do we still do lock down the bank at the bank?
Oh, yeah.
On the video boards?
We got to think of a whole new thing now, depending on what the name is.
I think it's just easier to stay a bank. Like, what banks are in business for a stadium?
We call it investment fund stadium.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Like, it's, I mean, these things, like, we have a private investment group that, like, has bought us, right, our radio and TVs.
Yeah.
And it's like Apollo. It's not like a media group.
Well, then they named their media group Terrier Media.
Okay.
All I can do is co-sign once again.
Fair enough. So what should be the name of the stadium is the theme of the show today. But I will say this. I'm kind of glad that they're selling it.
Really?
Yes. Because you know what the hardest thing to do in our line of work is say, welcome to Countdown to Kickoff, live from TIAA Bank.
That stinks.
I mean, it just does not roll off the tongue, people.
You're right.
Like, I have a bit of a speech impediment to begin with because I'm from Rhode Island. And now they want us to be like, yeah, TIAA. Like, sometimes it comes out TIAA.
Yeah, you can't really
TIA,
rush through it.
Like, it comes out all different things. I'm concentrated so much on TIAA that I forget if Field or Stadium sometimes. I'm telling you, I applaud the move.
See,
thank you.
You say that thank now, you. And then they're going to come up with some name that's like 18 words. They're going to have to wrap it around the stadium because it's so big. You're going to be like, I miss TIAA Bank instead of calling it the Digital Health Sports Place, something like that.
I don't think I'll miss it. I bet I'll be able to pronounce all the words, I hope. I'm telling you, that TIAA is no joke. That is tricky. It's a tricky thing for us.
There are some worse ones that have been around. I don't know if any of these are still around because I'm not in these markets, but I'm looking at a list of some bad ones, and I'm like, maybe TIAA Bank Field wasn't the worst. It certainly is really hard to say quickly.
Well, that's the thing. It's not a bad name. The name of the – it's just hard to say it in our world.
How about the KFC Yum Center? That's in Louisville.
Yeah, it is.
That's fine. It's fine. I can say that.
Yum with an exclamation point. You have to go, yum, yum, KFC Yum Center.
We will make a nickname for it in some way, right? Although when it was Everbank, did we call it the bank a lot? I feel like when it got the TIAA is when we didn't want to say TIAA anymore.
Right.
That's why it went to the bank, because we were struggling saying TIAA.
Right. That's I think, how it went down, if I'm not mistaken.
And I think maybe we'll still say the bank if we're lucky.
That's
cool.
And
then we can just say the bank.
You know, take that check to the bank. You score a touchdown or something. Casey, do you know if Livingston Football Club still has the Tony Macaroni Arena? Maybe.
Huh?
Tony Macaroni Arena.
I've never heard of any of those things.
Okay, just checking.
But it sounds pretty dope.
Just figured you're the football club guy. So.
Can't help you there.
You know what else? Is interesting. I thought about this the other day. I was actually just talking about this when we were at TIAA Bank, and we were talking in our Georgia-Florida specials, and then Countdown to Kickoff and other shows. And I said, I know it's a lot of money for these places to do it, but I actually think if you want brand awareness, it might be worth it. Do you know how many times in the last 5 years I've said TIAA Bank?
Yes, but how many times has that led to you being a customer at TIAA Bank?
Well, I am. They ran a special way back, and so I jumped in.
That's the return there. That's what I'm saying. Like, people go, oh, brand awareness. And I'm like, listen, man, if you're spending $50 million, $100 million on naming rights, chances are you don't need brand awareness. You've got the brand awareness because you've got the capital.
Yeah, I don't know. I disagree with you there. Like, Everbank, first of all, probably did really well. But nobody knew what Everbank was.
Well, they were a local bank, weren't they?
Yeah, it was born in Jacksonville. So, like, if you wanted more national brand awareness, when it's on ESPN or when it's on NFL Network or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, then that's a great thing. TIAA Bank, like, I didn't really know much about TIAA Bank. I knew, like, Wells Fargo and you name the Bank of America is the big ones. But I didn't really know what it was. I never did banking with them, and I didn't even know it was like regular customer banking until they got on board. So, like, it opened my eyes to it. Of course, I had to say it all the time, and we are living it right here. But I think it's the same thing. Like, if you want national attention, then it's certainly not a bad idea. I mean, you say, seriously, local attention, everybody in town that's in front of a microphone says it a gazillion times. When you drive downtown, you see it everywhere. It was on a green sign today to get off the exit, TIAA Bank Field. It's on the outside building. They take an overhead shot of Jacksonville. It's there. It's on a big-time college football broadcast. It's on the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl. It's on if you're going to concerts. If you're going to, I mean, I actually think there's some really good value in it. Now, I don't know if the value's worth $6 million a year or $5 million a year or whatever, but it is actually one of those things that I feel like there's some bang for the buck.
Thank you, Brent.
In terms of getting your name up.
Me and Aaron had this argument when we thought you were dead. We were trying to figure out what they should name the stadium, and I suggested like a place like Fanatics. And Aaron was like, no.
Yeah, I didn't think Fanatics would be a good fit.
Why?
There you go. Get him, Brent. I think it makes too much sense.
Yeah, I think, first of all, to have a stadium when you sell all different kinds of sports merchandise didn't necessarily make sense for like an exact fit to me. But also, I don't know that they could afford a naming rights deal. You think they could?
Fanatics?
Yeah.
I tried to tell them.
Oh, my God.
I tried to tell them.
I mean, these aren't $50 million deals. These are like $100, $200 million deals, aren't they?
Nah.
Yeah, they usually sign like 10-year deals on these things.
Yeah, and then never follow through with it because they sell.
I mean, this one runs out in 24, so it almost made it, yeah.
So it was a 10-year deal for how much? $5 million a year? So it's $50 million deal.
I thought it was more.
You're telling me over. Okay. You're telling me Fanatics can't do a $5 million a year deal? Absolutely they can.
Like I get it with banks because they're flush with capital.
Fanatics is like a monopoly, isn't it? And the thing about Fanatics is it was started here in Jacksonville. Is that what you're getting at, Casey?
That's what he was basically saying, yeah, because okay, they're a Jacksonville company.
But now it's like the Philadelphia guy owns it, right? The guy that owns all the sports teams in Philadelphia?
Is that the case?
Not all, but some.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. They sold it to the guy in Philly. I forget his name.
The founder was Michael Rubin. The owner, still listed as Michael Rubin. The CEO, Doug Mack.
Still has. The founder is Rubin?
That's what it says. Founder Michael G. Rubin, executive chairman.
I thought the story on Fanatics is they were like born out of the Avenues Mall.
I'll look into it.
I gotta double check that.
Yeah,
but I'm pretty sure. I thought it was. I thought Fanatics, now, maybe it was under a different name. I don't think it was under a different name. Or was Ruben out of Jacksonville and then went up there and bought teams or something? Doesn't Ruben own one of the teams up there in Philly?
The partner for the 76ers from 2011 and the Jersey Devils, NHL, from 2013 before selling ownership stakes in both in June 22.
How bad is it that they're a National Hockey League team and you had to clarify?
So the New Jersey Devils?
Like, New Jersey Devils hockey team.
Who knows
like,
that
oh, okay,
here?
Cool. Checking. Yeah, they're a national team.
But to the point, whether Fanatics should or can do it or not, he actually got out of the sports franchise business, at least the ownership business.
Okay.
In June of 22, so recently.
But he's still the founder of Fanatics? I mean, he's still the owner of Fanatics?
Yeah. The executive chairman. The CEO?
Really?
Yeah.
By the way, Delphonic just said Fanatics is worth $27 billion, so I think they could get the stadium
yes, they
if
can.
They wanted it.
No doubt. Like, Fanatics could do it. I was surprised Fanatics isn't already on something.
Right.
Revenue listed as $3.4 billion. So the $27 may just be the total worth of the company.
Yeah.
Not necessarily how much cash on hand to make purchases.
Well,
but you know what? $3.4 billion certainly a lot.
Yeah.
But to the point.
You can make a $5 million investment every year.
The CEO says they got out of the ownership stake to focus on the expansion of Fanatics to get out of the sports game.
But it's just a stadium. All you got to do is name it, you know?
Fanatics is big in the card business, right? Now?
They actually bought the rights to everything. Like, they bought Panini and stuff, yeah.
All right, okay, here we go. So Alan Traeger and Mitch Traeger is probably who you're talking about.
The Traegers.
Yes, I think they have a house, like, at Sawgrass Country Club.
That was in 95.
Oh, just give out the address, then.
I didn't give out their address. Sawgrass Country Club's kind of big, and it's a gated community, so good luck.
The company they found was Football Fanatics in 1995. Then Michael Rubin comes in 11 and then refounds Fanatics.
Okay. So, yeah. So he bought it from them.
Yeah. Merged with another company.
And then renamed it. So he's technically the founder.
Yeah. But, Fanatics, yeah. Mitchell and Ness, Wincraft, Top of the World, Majestic, Tops, Fans
yeah.
Edge.
Yeah. They bought Tops.
Get back. Football Fanatics, now Fanatics, is one of the great stories to come out of Jacksonville. I mean, I'm pretty sure if the way I've been told the story, of course, I wasn't around in 95. I mean, this is straight out of, like, the Avenues Mall. They're in, like, a little shop in the Avenues Mall.
And now they're going to name the stadium.
And, well, I mean, They might name it after themselves. They probably got plenty of money after Ruben bought them out.
True.
So, like, I was wondering if there is a local, of course, you know, web.com, did anybody know they were local until we knew they were local?
I only knew it because they're, you know, we run into these guys all over the street.
Web.com?
Yeah, man.
Web.com was a local thing. They put their name, obviously, on the minor league tour, right? Now the Corn Ferry Tour.
Yeah.
But they were out of Jacksonville, and then they became worldwide. And then the Jacksonville guys, they have since sold it, I'm pretty sure, and made a mint.
Look at Jacksonville.
And so Fanatics was like that. Web.com was like that. Everbank's another one.
Firehouse Subs.
Firehouse Subs. Oh, Firehouse.
Firehouse Subs is from Jacksonville?
Well, now listen.
Come on,
they sold Firehouse, I think, last year or a couple of years ago to one of the big conglomerates.
Yeah. $1 billion.
What are you arguing about $1 billion? I didn't know they're from Jacksonville.
Well, the firefighters who founded it aren't from Jacksonville, but they were living here when they made Firehouse Subs.
I understand they could name it. I eat Firehouse once a week, dog. I'm down. Like, I'm not mad at it. I just didn't know that it was from here.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool.
Firehouse in the name, right? They do have Smoothie King is on, like, the New Orleans.
Yeah, Smoothie King is a
basketball arena, whatever
the Pelicans, called. Yeah.
Smoothie King Arena, I guess.
Yeah.
I assume. But how about Firehouse Subs for naming rights?
Firehouse Sub Stadium? Or Hook and Ladder Stadium? You name it after a menu item? You kidding me? Come on. Let's go. I'm excited now.
What are we locking down, though? Lock down the bank. What are we locking down?
You're actually locking down superior play. Like,
throw a cucumber on that sub, baby. That's what you say when you throw a touchdown.
It's either superior or superb play.
Every time you get Josh Allen sacking somebody, you go, spread that mayo, Josh. Come on.
Firehouse Subs would be a good little local tie. I mean,
what about Maple Street? It's another big company out of Jacksonville. Just got
they've
sold.
They've since sold.
Yeah. Butter the biscuits, baby. Butter the biscuits.
I don't know. That Maple Street doesn't feel like it.
It doesn't. No. Florida Blue.
Firehouse feels like it. Florida Blue. They could do it, right?
Yeah.
That's
big enough.
Not as fun.
I mean, any of the big medical buildings could probably do it. Now Flagler Health has really become a big thing, right? So if they want to even put their name out there, especially in the Jacksonville area, so they could do it.
CSX?
I don't feel like CSX could have probably gotten the game a long time ago if they wanted to, right?
Yeah.
Does CSX still make like a mint? Like, is that a still booming business or is that a business?
I don't know if like rail line transport
I know it's still a good business.
Is a booming business, but I think they're making a ton of money.
I'm glad you said what it was because I couldn't have told you.
They like transport stuff, I think.
That's fine.
They're like non-commuter rails.
Somebody give Casey like a... history of Jacksonville.
He really does need to read up on the place where he lived.
That might be a good idea. I like the Fanatics one. Here's a problem with the Fanatics one, in my opinion, Casey.
Aaron's so mad because it was my idea.
No,
I like this better now. Fanatics probably doesn't want to just pigeonhole themselves into one market. And if they own, like, if they put their naming rights on it, like, they want to be everything, right, across the globe.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that prevents people from doing it. Like, it's different if you're in the L.A. market, like crypto. Isn't that Staples?
Crypto.com, yeah.
Now it's crypto. That makes sense. It's L.A., right? I mean, that basically is global
right.
when you say L.A.
Well, it would make more sense for Fanatics if the CEOs were still from here. Right.
Well, it would, but the roots carry some weight, I think. The problem with now Ruben, he's a Philadelphia guy, so it wouldn't happen. Like, Fanatics ain't happening. He put the name on somewhere in Philadelphia.
Well, we know it's not happening because it's an investment group, but companies who should buy it. We were throwing around Luby's Stadium. Would you go to Luby's Stadium? They'll add like 50 more bathrooms to that thing.
Give me some more. What else you got?
Well, we threw around some names in our chat earlier. I don't know if these are businesses. These are more names for the stadium.
How about Shad Khan just puts Flexengate on there?
This all around the stage is a big bumper. You can call the stadium the stash, no matter who buys it.
The stash. I'm looking at some of it. The Shad Shack.
The Shad Shack.
It's a little bit bigger than a shack.
I'll just try to do alliteration. You know how radio likes to use letters?
Yes, so, I know what you're saying. The Brown from downtown. That's not very nice.
No, well, this is how we feel, though.
YB just put one in the chat that I think Justin suggested. The Maxwell House.
Oh, YB. Yeah. Swisher Sweets is another one of these companies here, by
Swisher?
The way.
Swishers? Yeah.
I don't know how the NFL feels about having a smoking product as the name
Probably not. but they like money.
But YB, to Casey's point and YB's point, Maxwell House, we were talking about in our conversation. You could actually call the stadium the Maxwell House.
And then you could only draft players with the first or last name of Maxwell.
Play artists named Maxwell.
Yeah.
The R&B singer.
How about no Budweiser connection?
Oh, yeah. Anheuser-Busch is here.
Really?
Yeah.
That's like one of the places people go tour.
I've never been.
Wow. What about the Bacardi? Have you ever been to the Bacardi tour?
No.
I'm not sure we're educating anybody else in Jacksonville today, we're sure as hell educating Casey.
Learn Casey's. Listen, when I went to the Bacardi tour, they told me it was like 90% of Bacardi's global inventory gets shipped out of this city.
Do you get free product on the tour?
You do.
Put it on the board.
I don't know if everyone does, but I do.
Are we busy tomorrow? Like, could we go tomorrow?
Not only did we get free merch, which, by the way, Bacardi makes Grey Goose and all these other things.
Really?
But we got to sample some not yet released flavors they were working on.
Dude, that was awesome. We got to go.
Well, we're here at String Sports Brewery. We got to ask, like, Joe Adib if Bono's could do it or something.
Oh, Bono's.
Part of the family here.
Get the Bono's bump.
I'm not sure what kind of dollars attached to Bono's.
And like, then you get a sack of the opponent quarterback. You're like, shove him in the smoker.
He's done.
Okay.
But really, this is all for naught, right? I mean, we're basically just looking at a name change after a sale goes through.
Yeah, it's going to be some other
Most
bank.
Likely.
Yeah.
I wonder if a sale allows them to get out of the deal. You said this one's up in 2024?
Yes, and they're changing it definitely. So.
Which, by the way, like 2024... That is a perfect time for the Jags, right? And they probably did it this way. Well, I'm not sure if they had. I don't know if they knew this back then when they did this deal. But 2024, that should set things up for a new stadium to have naming rights for like another 10 years.
Yep.
Or maybe even longer. But as we've seen, I mean, the naming rights do come and go. Maybe we should get away from the naming rights and just name the stadium something.
Just the word something?
Like something stadium?
No. Like, let's give it a nickname that sticks. It has nothing to do with the actual naming rights.
You don't like the Derp Dome?
No.
It's the Derp statue downtown.
No, this is a better conversation if the Jags ever get to, like, 10 wins. It's a tough one with the state of the franchise the way it is right now.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about getting to 3 wins for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Can that happen this week? We talk a little bit about the Raiders team because I was doing some research on the Raiders today, and they might be as puzzling as the Jaguars, believe it or not. I know that's hard to believe, but they might be. We'll be back, Brent and friends, on ESPN 690 live from String Sports Brewery. To Spring Sports Brewery in Springfield. Brent Martineau along with Aaron Schachter, Casey Kurtz back in the studio. It's Brent and friends on ESPN 690 on a beautiful Thursday, man. We got the garage doors open here, the patio doors open here.
Looks like you got a nice sign behind you as well.
You got the sign and it's getting crushed by the wind right now.
Oh, I thought it was that person that just walked by. I thought he took a slide at us.
He might have punched you in the face.
Huh, unbelievable.
3 punches is what we say. But
that's what Casey's high school teammates used to say as well.
I got to get some weights, guys. Like, I got to add that to the truckload.
You are looking a bit scrawny. I agree. Maybe start pumping some iron.
You grab some sandbags, you'd be all right.
Yeah, I got to get the sandbags. So, I say this, yeah, that's how dumb I am, right? So we're at the
I like where this is going.
I said, so where do you, like, buy the sandbags? And they're like, well, you can just buy the pouches and fill them with sand.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
I wasn't thinking about it at all. I was like, so where do I go to get, like, the sand in the bags? Oh, yeah, I can just go to the local sandbox or the beach.
Go to the sandbag store. That's
fine. Let's circle back to the local sandbox. Has anybody seen one of those in a while?
I don't know.
That flew right over my head when he said it.
I was like, sandbox?
Is there a local sandbox? I don't know. Like, there's got to be some park you can steal sand from.
Nefarious. Brett's out here just causing mayhem.
Or you just buy sand. You can buy sand from, like, Home Depot, right?
Sure.
Unconfirmed.
All right.
Just so anyway, I got a sandbox. It'd be fine.
Because that thing gets, it doesn't take a big gust.
Oh, it's like a wind sail.
It is a little bit like a wind sail.
Yeah.
I'm going to break it sooner or later. I got to get that. So that's
how sad are you going to be when the sign, like, breaks?
Well, considering I bought it, well, no, and your face on it, no, yeah, I'd be so, pretty damn sad.
You're so proud of the sign. Like, I'm telling my friends and like family about your sign. Like, I'm telling them how much you love the sign.
The sign looks good.
It does.
Like, Ty and Kaylee probably are like, hey, Bren, we're here, too. Or, hey, Dad, is what they're saying. We're here, too. And you're like, but I got the sign. You know what I'm saying? Listen, the sign sits in the front seat, Ty and Kaylee.
I like this stuff. I like that. Like, I needed a sign. I've got the teardrop flag. I go all over the place. We got to say, hey, it's ESPN 690, you know? And so, look, now we got the sign. The sign says it all. You can know where to watch your show, our show. You even got a QR code.
The QR code.
If you don't know what the
important.
Hell the show is now, then it's on you.
I'm going to keep track of how many people look at the sign as they walk by.
I mean, everybody.
These guys just looked at the sign. They like the sign. I can tell they like the sign.
You need it.
That's a return on investment right there.
Thank you for
the
supporting
QR code.
Sign.
Aaron came up with the QR code. I thought this was like this big corporate thing we're going to have to go through.
Nope.
It's just grab it from a website. Boom.
Literally.
QR code. And so, that's like, here's my favorite part of the QR code deal. Because I'm not a big QR code guy, but obviously we're getting there. Look.
Nice.
I take a picture of the sign, and boom, it goes to YouTube.
Yeah, man.
That's how this thing works.
That's how we do it.
I love it. I get excited about the little things, guys. We're going on year four of ESPN 690. We're just trying to make it, and now we finally made a sign.
If you're sitting by the man in the navy blue sweater, please tell him you like his sign.
Yes, please do. Compliment us on the sign. I need that. I'm going to make another one, by the way. I already bought another one. Just haven't made it yet.
Did you buy another? So you put in a future investment for a sign, and now you just got to design it, you're saying.
Yeah. I didn't know what to put on it. I was trying to rush this one through.
Yeah.
Thanks to the good folks at Fast Signs, by the way. They helped me out. Josh over there, he was great.
Thank you, Josh.
But I wanted to get it for Florida Georgia Week last week. Had it out there. Looked pretty good, didn't it, Casey?
Looks great.
I thought your setup at that RV looked cool. Yeah,
see? The little things, people. I mean, we're working on
Brent's buying signs without designs. His whole living room is just going to be signs. And he's like, this is our new home decor.
He's like, I don't know what I want, but take this money and we'll talk about it later.
Listen, we've been trying to grow the brand, right? Tell everybody about it. I have thought about this and said, screw you, HOA, come after me. I've thought about putting a projection screen on the side of my house.
The Palatial Martineau Estate.
With something that looks like that, but I probably wouldn't put your face up, Casey.
I wouldn't.
Unless you want Halloween all year round. Your kids as they walk by.
Okay, settle down. But I wouldn't advertise on your own house because then people know you live there. I'm just saying.
Oh, what's the difference between that and like advertising on the truck? You got magnets for the truck.
That's a good point.
Well, you don't sleep in the truck. Your family doesn't live in the truck.
I mean, Brent does sometimes.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to advertise on a house, do somebody else's so then when people don't like you, they egg their house.
It's actually not a bad idea, Brent. Maybe you should go to the neighbor, maybe the hitting coach on the Yankees.
Yeah, that's true. That's
advertise on his house.
By the way, yeah, I mean, especially with the Yankee fans, he could seriously have some egg on his house. Does anybody egg houses anymore?
I saw the day after Halloween.
No way.
I swear to you, I saw in somebody's front yard an empty half dozen egg crates.
Really?
Yes.
Like, we're not encouraging this, by the way.
I am.
Like, is that a
egg houses, yes.
Is that a thing? Like, how about, like, I feel like I've seen more toilet papered houses in recent years
not
than
me.
Egg.
Toilet paper's hard to get and expensive. I don't know.
I've never in my entire
not in the
life.
Pandemic.
In the 4 years, well, at the beginning, you couldn't get toilet paper. In the 4 decades I've been alive, 4+ decades, I've never seen a toilet papered house.
Really?
Ever.
Get out.
No way.
Now, when I was a kid on Halloween, the nice bad kids would throw eggs. The mean bad kids would freeze those eggs the night before and use those to throw. And if you were in a school bus on Halloween, you were a huge target.
Why were you on a school bus?
I wasn't.
I'll tell you what. You know why? And this is the same thing you want to try it at my house. Go ahead. I got cameras everywhere.
Oh, yeah. That's going to stop them.
Like, I'm just telling you. I'm going to see you.
Yes.
I'm going to find you.
You're
going
to see hey, breaking windows. Before you do that, you're on camera. You're being a total Karen at your house, dog.
Hey, but no, I guess that's the real reason, though, right? You probably don't see it as much anymore. But he's got the Ring doorbell that will tell on everyone.
Yeah, that's a thing, by the way, on Reddit. Now, one of my favorite new subreddits are these Ring doorbell videos. I see a lot of wackadoo stuff happening in these Ring doorbell videos.
Oh, yeah, you do.
There was a guy a couple of weeks ago that was licking doorbells in some neighborhood. I got to find this story.
That's just that's horrible.
Great. What are you
Let's
watching?
Let's get that guy on.
Like, that was on the news.
What sub-channel is this?
But could you imagine, like, you look at your video when you wake up the next morning, you're like, oh, I got a notification from my Ring doorbell.
And it's somebody's tongue.
And it's someone licking the door, some stranger licking your doorbell. Oh, I'd set it on fire.
Yeah, that's a good point. or at least put something nasty on it so next time he licks it, it wouldn't taste so good.
So you're recommending poisoning the neighbors?
Well, hey, if he's not... It's his fault for licking the doorbell.
Just confirmed, yep.
Made his own bed.
He did. He shouldn't have been licking
doorbells. Tennessee fans coming out of the woodwork here. Look at that Tennessee shirt. Have you ever seen so many Tennessee shirts in Jacksonville?
Please look at the sign, Tennessee fans.
Hey, do you like our sign?
He's out of control.
Right? I mean, it'll look better with the Tennessee logo, but other than that, it looks pretty good, right?
Out of control.
This is my favorite segment of the show we've ever done.
He checked it out. He liked it.
What has happened?
Do you like our sign?
You gotta go to social media. You'll see our sign.
Feels like a Friday right now.
Well, it's close. It's Thursday.
The case is going to collapse.
Jags are 2-6. This is what we get. Talking about the game this week, I don't fully understand why the Raiders are 2-5.
Yeah, there's no real reason for it other than their head coach is not good enough to be a head coach.
Come on. But nobody's saying that about Jacksonville being 2-6.
That's
not saying
true.
Doug Peterson's like a terrible head coach.
That's true. Well, they don't have some guy who worked in New England for a while. So.
I mean, it's weird. Like, Derek Carr's not playing great. Max Crosby has 6 sacks. Chandler Jones has, like, none. So that's the thing.
Chandler Jones only has a half sack more than the three of us.
He does. Half a sack.
One
that's
half.
It.
Yes.
It's
horrible. But,
like, Waller's been hurt. Renfro's been hurt. So they've been in and out. Their offensive line combination has been, like, I think they've had 11 different combinations, guys. So that makes some sense. But, again, they haven't been putrid on offense. They're running the football well with Josh Jacobs. Their defense, they get sacks, but they give up a lot of passing yards or a good amount of passing yards. But not, like, alarming. I look at their red zone. Red zone's not great, but it's, like, 2 notches ahead of Jacksonville.
I was checking
it's
out.
It's not 28th in the league. It's, like, 20 or 19th in the league.
I was checking out their reds, their next-gen stats yesterday. Remember when I pulled up that chart for Trevor about throwing to different places on the field? I looked at it for Derek Carr because I was kind of curious. Because his numbers aren't terrible. Like, he's on pace to throw for 4,000 yards, 22 touchdowns.
MVP?
No. More interceptions than he's used to, but still. But on that passing chart, when you talk about throwing long down the middle of the field, he's got a really high QBR, but to the two sides, it's putrid. It's awful.
Yeah, and so you can find your weak spots. Again, they're not playing it's not. I actually think the Jags have some better metrics than even the Raiders do, and that's what's puzzled us. And now we watch it closely. We watch it each day. You're like, why did Trevor make these 5 plays? Why did Trayvon Walker make these 2 plays? Why did Trey Herndon give up these 2 plays? Like, so they're there. And I'm assuming that's the case with the Raiders. I just haven't watched every game.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it might be, and Carr referred to this. Remember, we did this segment a couple weeks ago when he referred to the new style offense, the getting used to it, new group of people together, lack of continuity. And we use that as an example. Well, I mean, we're 7 games in now, right? So is it fair to ask, are the Raiders just kind of who they are, where they're not going to go put 30 up a game, most likely? They're not going to put 10 up a game. Like, that was an anomaly last week where they got shut out, I think. But they're also not like this high-flying, potent offense. They just have not been that, even with Jacobs running the ball. And I think that's maybe some of the problem. Like, who are you? We keep asking. We're 8 games in. Who are the Jags? Like, what's their identity? I don't know. Like, Doug, we think, is a passing guy, but right now their identity is the 7th overall rushing offense in the game. ETN's like the 6th most productive back in football. Well, shouldn't that be your identity? Defensively, they don't really have one. They can stop the run, but they also give up some stuff, and they're not getting enough turnovers for that to be the identity anymore. They were in the first few games.
There's just been, I think, the lack of consistency has hurt in identifying the identity
of the Jags. Well,
yes.
The Raiders, I think, I guess what I'm getting at are kind of similar. The Raiders, with Derek Carr getting $40 million a year, they want to throw the ball. Like, you want to throw the ball. You got Waller. You got Devontae Adams. You got Renfro. Well, guess what? Their best player is the guy in the backfield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to be fair, Waller's been hurt most of the season with a hamstring injury in those playing. But they are scoring slightly more than last year. It's not like it's been a disaster on offense for them.
Yeah, they score. They just couldn't stop anybody.
But to the point that Brent is making, like, you pick up Devonta Adams, you pick up Josh McDaniel, who's an offensive coach, and you take a step backwards in terms of your dominance.
It is weird.
Yeah, something's amiss. Like, the Jags, I don't really feel like there's something amiss. There's something broken. There's something wrong. It's no, they just make the bonehead. They can't make a winning play. Like, we've seen the losing plays. I guess you would maybe say that about the Raiders, But I feel like the Raiders are more something's amiss. Like there's just something not clicking to make to maybe put them over the top. Yeah, to your guys' point, listen, they scored 19, 23, 22.
32.
32, 29.
38.
Got 38 against the Texans, and then nothing.
Yeah, donut.
Yeah, nothing's weird. But
they
scored.
Went from 38 to nothing.
But they've also not had a game where they gave up less than 20 points.
Yeah, they can't. They can't stop a nosebleed.
And they've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games where they've given up 24 or more.
Yes.
Yeah, their depth chart is too good for that. And again, Max Crosby's having a nice year. 6 sacks.
Yeah.
Chandler Jones is not doing what they brought him in to do. That's for sure. And I think I was talking a little bit today to some folks down the building. I think the defense, I think their interior is not very good from the sound of it.
Yeah.
So, but they're also like, we've seen the Jags play multiple teams this year that are terrible against the run. The Giants, didn't they give up like 5.2 against the run? Well, that's not really the case. The Raiders aren't that bad. It's actually pretty decent against the run, like 4.3, I think. I don't know if that's decent, but it's not putrid.
It's not 5.3.
It's not 5.3. So, like, Houston Texans were really bad against the run. That's not the Raiders. Like, they're not that bad. It's really their passing defense. Their back end is just not
they
good.
They got no corners.
Yeah, they have no corners.
Plays. Their explosive plays, I looked at, I was like, maybe they're just giving up these long bombs. And I couldn't find any metrics to support that either.
They actually they got Rocky Sin from the Colts,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
That was it's who they traded Yon for.
Yes, and he hasn't played well.
Nah.
And then they've got Anthony Everett on the other side. It's just been abysmal.
Rocky Sin, by the way, my friend had like a weird betting pool with Rocky Sin penalties, and when he was on the Colts, you could guarantee one PI every game, and it like hit all the time. We were like betting amongst our friends.
It's a good prop to do this year with the Broncos, by the way. Over under penalties. I may take that action with you in the commercial break.
I'll take it. I'll take one penalty. I'll take over a PI penalty from Rocky Sin on Sunday.
All right, let's do that. Let's do that.
Let's do it.
Half a penalty for Rocky Sin.
It has to be PI or holding.
Oh, either one? Oh, that's a good bet. By the way, the Jags have drawn a lot of holding penalties this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With their receivers. They really have.
He'll get one. Trust me.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll be back. Brent and friends talk more about this. And, of course, we've got Jordan DeLugo coming up at 4. We'll talk about the Jags, the trade deadline, where the Raiders are. The Raiders stayed in Sarasota, so they hung out here on the East Coast after New Orleans. Yeah.
The boys are in Sarasota?
I got to believe they were practicing at IMG. That's why they stayed over there.
Oh, maybe they were at the Casey Kurtz Memorial Palmetto High School.
They could have been. Could you imagine if the boys were at Palmetto High School? Holy cow.
That's something to get a memorial stadium named after you, and you're still here.
We didn't think you were for a minute there, Brent. We thought they were going to change all the names.
The Brent Martineau Memorial Stadium downtown, where the Jaguars.
Well, it's almost the Brent Martineau Memorial Show. We'll be back on the ESPN 690. I'll have a sign for it, though. That's for damn sure.
Check out his sign, people. 690.
The Spring Sports Brewery, Brent Martineau, along with Aaron Schachter, Casey Kurtz, Brent and friends on ESPN 690. Jordan DeLugo will join us at 4. Ducky Betts at 4:30. And then we have football at 5 coming up, of course, in that 5 o'clock hour. How about a little baseball for a moment? Do you consider last night a no-hitter, Casey? Like, as no-hitters as we know it? Or does the combined no-hitter take something away?
No.
No, I think it's more impressive.
And I'm glad you mentioned this, Brent. I have asked Casey to play every out so we can listen to all of the Phillies lose again. Go ahead, Casey.
No, we don't have that.
Oh.
We don't have that audio queued up.
We have to do that assignment.
Yeah.
So really, you think it's more impressive? I don't know if I could agree with that. I mean,
yes, it's more impressive.
I got a text from this is actually my mentor back in Rhode Island today, and he said this morning, this is what he said, and there's some truth to it now, right? He said, to throw a no-hitter, you have to start the game in the first inning and still be standing at the end of the game. If you pitch 6 no-hit innings, that's great, but it's not a no-hitter. It's, in fact, 3 innings shy of a no-hitter. If you come in from the bullpen and pitch a hitless inning, that's great, but it's not a no-hitter. It is, in fact, 8 innings shy of a no-hitter. If you and I and 25 of our closest friends go to New York City this weekend, each run roughly a mile in the New York City Marathon, none of us can claim to have run the full marathon. You want to throw a no-hitter? Give me 27 outs without giving up a hit.
You know what? I was in the school.
That's a valid point.
No, it's actually freezing cold.
I was in the school of this no-hitter is a valid no-hitter, and then you read that quote, and I'm like, I think it turned me. That's a valid. That is a really good way to put it.
And by the way, I said, I'm stuck on the fact that I really want to be the guy volunteering for the .2 portion of the marathon.
Yes, that's me. You're running 4 miles a day. What are you talking about?
But that's not a decent point, Casey.
It's a good point because you can throw 6 scoreless anytime. That's not a no-hitter.
It's more impressive that 4 dudes or 5 dudes, whatever it was, were on their top of their game to no-hit somebody for an inning.
No, to me it says that the Phillies stink, not that the pitching was
okay,
so great.
Can we talk to somebody else that doesn't like an NL
East? No, I'm just
team?
Saying, no. Forget about the fact that the Phillies stink in real life and I hate their guts. I'm just saying, if you pitch 6 innings, I used to think that was a no-hitter because it's impressive that you hold people without hits, but the quote is right. Whoever said the quote, I'm sorry I missed it, Brett, but if you got 2 or 3 guys going in there, they're all throwing no-hit innings. It says something about the batters you're facing, not necessarily about the pitchers.
No, it doesn't. There's 3 of us here. If one of us has a bad show, then it's off. Like, if you have one of your relievers have a bad day, it's not a no-hitter. You got to have 4 relievers or 3, whatever it was last night, on at the top of their game in the World Series. Yes, it's a no-hitter. It's more impressive.
I'm not saying it's not a no-hitter.
It's not more impressive.
Yes, it is.
It's definitely not more impressive.
Because
in
a way, it's not because you're seeing the same guy. Casey, you know this. You're better than this. You know baseball. You're seeing a guy for a 4th time.
Who's also exhausted, by the way. Yes.
And you're running on fumes.
Yes.
These guys coming out of the pen are throwing 99,000 miles an hour for 12 pitches.
Yes.
Like, that's totally different.
And as a manager, you get to switch up the specialty pitches. You got a fastball specialist as your starter, and suddenly you're bringing in the curveball guy. It's different than seeing the fastballs again for the 4th time in the 9th inning.
Not true.
Listen, it's there's a reason why perfect games have hardly been thrown and no-hitters are pretty rare.
Complete
it's hard to do. Guess what? You know what's not rare? Throwing a perfect inning of baseball. Throwing a no-hit inning out of the bullpen in baseball.
Tell him, Brett.
It's not rare. Happens like 8 million times a year.
Word. It's just a cold take, guys. I don't know.
I don't think it's a cold take at all. I'm not saying it's not impressive, but I do think it's a good pitching performance that's not, like, you cannot put, like, this game should not go next to Don Larson's performance.
Agree.
Don Larson.
You can't, it's.
That's the no-hitter World Series.
I know who Don Larson is, Brent. Don't facepalm.
Oh, okay, good.
I think the players are a little better now. So Don Larson, okay, great.
Oh, yeah. Those guys in the 40s and 50s sucked. The Joe DiMaggio's and Ted Williams.
All
and
I'm saying
yeah, those
is
guys weren't good.
I didn't see a Kyle Schwarber in the 40s and 50s, okay? So,
what are we doing here?
What are we doing here?
What are we doing here?
It's
Don Larson. Hey, Don, you're on the hill by yourself, pal.
Sorry,
well,
bud.
First of all, because it was a perfect game. But
love you, Don.
It is pretty amazing that there have only been 3 no-hitters in postseason history.
And only one real one because there's only one combined one.
Yeah.
I'd actually be curious on the percentage. Like, out of all the games that have been played in postseason history, how many no-hitters versus all the games played in regular season history and how many no-hitters? I'd be curious to see what the percentage is between the two.
I got to believe this percentage. Well, that's a good point, actually. As I'm saying that, maybe it's not. There are a lot more regular season games, and there are not a lot of no-hitters. There have been plenty now, but not a lot. One other thing is crazy, and I know you probably know this by now if you followed the game last night, but some of you might not have. Dusty Baker on the winning side. He was on the losing side of the Doc Holliday one. He was the manager of the Reds. So this has happened 3 times in the history of the sport, and Dusty Baker has been involved in 2 of them.
Yeah, it's the perks of having an 85-year career.
It's true.
I was going to say, is there any chance he's in the lineup against Don Larson or in the stands?
Yeah.
I'll be back. Brent Friends on ESPN 690.